John chapter 20. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have taken him, laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came in, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw, and he believed. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Bless it this morning. On this resurrection morning, as we celebrate the risen Savior, in Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus Christ. cross my living hollow. God, you are my living hope.
Amen. I'm assuming you're here today because you believe in the resurrection. I mean, all of God's promises would not mean anything to us if He didn't resurrect. Did not keep His promise, as He said, "I'm going to be crucified, and in 3 days I'm going to rise again." I would assume you're here because you believe that it's impacted your life. You know, back about 40 or 50 years, people would debate whether the resurrection took place. They still debate today, maybe for different reasons. But they debated it, and Josh McDowell came up with the four L's. That if, and based on Jesus and what He said, what was recorded about Him, either it's a legend or a myth, but that's been dispelled in so many ways, and nobody believes that Jesus didn't exist. Nobody believes that. If they have, they just haven't really studied history and all the, not just the Scripture, but all the other historical books that speak to Jesus existing. Or He'd be a liar, that what He said was not true. He'd be a legend or a liar, that He was, you know, and you even hear people say, "Well, He was a good teacher." Well, if it wasn't true what He said, He's not a good teacher. They got to just limit to that, to just a good teacher. But very few people would die for a lie. Very few people would die for a lie. Not only did Jesus die, His followers died. They were transformed by the resurrection. Or the third L would be that he's a lunatic. He thought He was the Savior and He wasn't. Yet, it was the death and resurrection of Jesus that has transformed our world that we live in. To this day, people are being transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the only option really that the Scriptures put forth is He is who He says He is. He's Lord. It happened as He recorded. And we look at John's account of the record of this, and the Gospels speak of His resurrection, four different accounts. And again, God goes out of His way to give us the proofs that this took place. But it was a dark morning, and Mary found an empty tomb. And you learn more about this tomb if you go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27 says, "Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus." Matthew records the name of the person, this rich man from Arimathea. "Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloths." We have another account where someone brought 100 pounds of myrrh, 100 pounds of aloe for the burial. "He wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and he laid it in a new tomb which he had hewn out of a rock." The tombs, if we've seen different pictures of tombs, but they would dig out of the limestone of the cliff, and they would dig these caves kind of like thing, and that have shelves for the body. And this was a newly dug out tomb. "And he rolled a large stone against the door in the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite of the tomb." They saw the burial of Jesus. They were at the graveside when Jesus was put in there. Then we have recorded in that same chapter of Matthew about Pilate and what was asked of him. So listen to this. It says, "On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered with Pilate." What are they gathering about? Jesus has been crucified. They got what they wanted. But they gather with Pilate, as recorded, and saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how the deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.'" So these guys wanted to destroy any chance of Jesus being proven true in any way. And so they told Pilate, he said he was going to rise again from 3 days. And they said, "After 3 days, he said, I will rise. Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead,' so the last deception will be worse than the first." I don't know what drove them to do that. Did they not see the disciples and how they cowered on Good Friday? Did they not see the disciples disperse and run in fear? And yet they're still afraid of what the disciples might do And they said, could you put a guard on it? Now, a guard was a detachment. It wasn't just one guard on the tomb. It was many men. And they were battle-tested men. They had seen horrors of war. And they were standing there at the tomb, and the tomb was sealed. A big rock was put in front of them. They would put a mud seal around that rock. And if it was broken in any way, heads would roll. If that mud seal was broken, heads would roll. And so Pilate had that guard put there. And therefore he commanded the tomb and made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by. Pilate said to them, you have a guard, go your way, make it secure as you know how. Make it as secure as you know how. You don't want this potential conspiracy or ploy of the disciples who really have just disappeared all over in fear, denying Christ even to the youngest. He said, you have your guard and make it secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone. Now after the Sabbath, the first day of the week began to dawn, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. Now there's another account that speaks of a third woman that was with them. It said, Salome. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Have you ever given it much thought about the earth shaking? We heard it in his crucifixion when he finally gave his spirit up. The earth shook. Graves were open. And the earth shakes again on the resurrection morning. It shakes. Why does it shake? Does it shake because of the angel? No. Does it shake because the Savior has risen? Just as it shook when life left his body, life entered his body to an earthquake. It said, his countenance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow, speaking of the angels. And the guards shook for fear. These battle-seasoned guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. They passed out. They became like dead men in light of what they had witnessed. But the angel said to the woman, women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. Come and see the place where the Lord lays. Come and see the place for the proof that he is risen from the dead. Now we go back to the John 20 passage. Three times Jesus had said, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. And nobody got it right off the bat. Mary, what was her response when she found the linen? You'll hear the linen repeated throughout this text. Three times the linen is spoken about. They saw the linen. John saw the linen. Peter saw the linen. John sees the linen again. Three times he says, I'm going to be killed and I'm going to raise from the dead. And they didn't get it. Mary didn't get it. She says when she realizes Jesus' body is gone in the John 20 account, she goes to the disciples. She said, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him. And so then we believe in John's account, the three that he mentions a part of this story is Mary Magdalene, and Peter and the other disciple, the one that says the other disciple with him. And we believe from studying the scripture, because it says the one Jesus loved, that the other disciple is John, the one who wrote this. And John speaks of beating Peter to the tomb, and some believe Peter was getting older in age. I think it's funny that was included. He beat him to the tomb. And when they do it, they says the three Sauls, do you know this? I'm going to tell you something, maybe you know, maybe you don't know, are different Greek words. Each one is different. The first one is blepo. You look in this text and you see this passage and it says the word, it'd be the Greek word blepo. And let me turn the page. Blepo shows up in verse 3 through 8. There's three times Saul is mentioned. And the first one mentioned is in verse 5. And he stooping down and looking in, he blepo, he saw. And that's just the action of seeing. There's nothing attached to it. It's like, hey, I saw so-and-so the other day walking into the store. I saw this. Blepo's just the action of seeing. And it's saying John saw the linen, okay? And the linen cloth lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and he went into the tomb and he saw. Now the word there is theoreo. the oreo, the Greek word. Different word. Why is God using different words for Saul? Why not just bleepo, bleepo, bleepo? Bleepo, theoreo. And what that means is that Peter saw and he had a theory. He saw it and he said, you know what? I have a theory of something's happened here. He has a thought. He doesn't just see it physically. There's more to it. It's he perceives something from what he sees. When he sees the linen cloth lying there and the handkerchief there, he sees the both of them laying there. And the third one shows up where John goes in again in verse 8. Then the other disciple, speaking of John, who came to the tomb first, went also and he saw. And that's a different word, oreo. And that means to see and believe. That he saw the linen and he believed in the resurrection. That's what it says. It even adds that on again, not only through the word for Saul, but and he believed. He saw it and he believed in the resurrection. John saw something that convinced him that Jesus resurrected. So what did they see? What did they see? We don't give much thought to the linen, but what did they see? What did they envision? Well, we know there were... That when they wrapped him up, that in the Matthew account, it was the singular cloth. There was one cloth wrapped around Jesus. One cloth wrapped around Jesus with all this myrrh and all this aloe on it, sticking it together. And it's been there for 3 days. Now, if you remember, when Lazarus rose again, Jesus said, y'all need to loosen him. You need to help him get out of his... When he rose from the dead, when Jesus rose him from the dead, he said, y'all need to help him get out of that. So here, John sees this cloth laying there where it was, and he sees the head cloth laying there where it was. And as you look at the different things, he sees something that he says, he has risen from the dead. It's not like Jesus just tore off the things and dropped it on the ground, and he had to unwrap himself of all this wet cloth. It was laying there. And what some theologians believe, and I think there's great validity to it, for the fact that Jesus' glorified body could go through doors, right? Could go through walls. When the disciples were gathered, he had his body. It was real flesh and real blood. He said, touch and feel, watch me eat. Yet he had the glorified body that could do much more. There's this truth that we need to know about the glorified body, is Jesus' body is like ours, his resurrected body, but it's also unlike ours. And one day we will have a body like that. We'll have a body that is physical, you touch it, eat, yet it's a glorified body. Jesus did a lot of things with his glorified body that he didn't, that we can't do with our body. And so what some theologians believe is that based on the Greek, based on the way the thing is recorded from gospel account to gospel account, is that you can make an argument, a strong argument, that you see what they saw that convinced them to believe was that Jesus had just went through. He raised through what was left there on the shelf in the tomb. And so it wasn't... And so you think of the arguments. Well, if somebody took him, why would they take the cloth off? Why would they take off the linen? Why would they take off the head garment? They've got a dead corpse that's been dead for 3 days. Why would they take those things off? Well, we don't believe they did. We don't believe they did. We believe that the linen is preaching us a sermon. That's the title, the linen's sermon. The linen is preaching us a sermon. The only thing they saw was the empty tomb. The only thing they saw was the linen laying there on the shelf. And God had this written for us so that our confidence can be bolstered in the fact that this did take place. The linen's cloths are preaching a sermon here. That's why we have the three different words. You have bleepo, you have the ereo, and then you have oreo. John saw and he believed. So what's the application as we close? There's a giant amount of proof besides the linen about Jesus' resurrection. A giant amount of proof. The ones who were so fearful of the body being taken, the ones who had a detachment put at the tomb and sealed and heads would roll, the ones who were documented as paying the soldiers to lie about what took place. You have the witnesses that saw the risen Savior. You have 500 people that Paul refers to. Go talk to the 500 people who saw the resurrected Lord. Go see them. Go ask them. They're still living when Paul wrote that. when Luke wrote it. There's an empty tomb. The people who deny the resurrection prove, well, show us where the body is. I mean, you had him crucified, you had him guarded. Where's the body? Why the linens laying there preaching a sermon? What happened to him? You have the changed character of the disciples. It's like the witnesses aren't enough. God gives us the changed character of the disciples. And some of us here, hopefully all of us, our character, our personality, our life has been transformed by the resurrection. There'd be no hope for us if it wasn't for the resurrection. It'd be just like any of the other false religions where their leader died and never rose again. Scripture speaks to it. The more you study it, the more you realize the beauty of the Scriptures. We have mass amount of evidence here. So the question I'll close with in asking you this in closing. Which one of the C's are you? Which one of the Sauls are you? You just see it. It doesn't have any impact on you. You don't think about it. Maybe you're here today because this is what I do. I just come to this once a year. Are you that? Are you like John was when he first saw the empty tomb? Okay, I see it. I'll think about it. Or that'd be what Peter did. Peter saw it and he had a theory about it. Mary had a theory. She said, I think somebody took the body. But then, are you like John, who goes back a second time and looks at the resurrection and he believes. He believes in it. You're going to hear a sermon later today about the hope that the resurrection brings us. And don't we need hope? You think about our lives and think about the challenges. It's hard to follow Christ. It's hard to live this life. There'd be no hope without the resurrection. We'd be hopeless. So I hope you'll come back for the morning worship service to hear that sermon. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the risen Savior. We thank you for the sermon of the linen. We thank you that John not just saw it, but he believed it, and eventually so did Peter and Mary and the disciples and many who would be willing to die for the fact that Jesus resurrected. We praise you for it. We celebrate it this morning together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have a more familiar song we're going to sing. Jesus Paid It All. It does have a chorus that's a little different. And if you're not familiar with it, join in with us when you get familiar with it.